Welcome to Gracious Words. Gracious Words is taken from the weekly women's Bible study taught by Cheryl Broderson at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
We behold your glory, God, in the face of Christ. It shows us who you are.
Paul considered prayer to be the believer's most vital resource, but all too often, it comes in last in our priorities. On today's program, we'll see how we can harness and utilize the power of prayer. And now here is part one of Cheryl's message titled, Untapped Power.
So here we go, chapter two.
So in my personal devotions, I'm in John chapter 16. And you know, sometimes when God speaks to you, you're reading your Bible and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, like you got to put your seatbelt on. Like you're like, how did I miss this? Did I see this before? But I came across John 16, 23 and 24, which I know. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, get this, whatever. Say it again. Say it like, not like whatever. Like whatever. Okay, one, two, three.
Whatever.
You ask the Father in my name because of what I've done. He will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Did you hear the power in that promise? Did you get it? That he's saying, now you can go running into the throne room of God boldly, fall down before the throne of grace and say, Father, Here is what I want. And it's not just about, you know, my needs. There are people that say, just your needs. No, he's not the great comrade. He's your Father. You go in there and you say, God, I need a steak dinner tonight. I need to be so filled with you. I want a revival. I want this generation to know Jesus Christ personally. I want every single one of my children to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask big things. You know, this is like carte blanche power. Whatever. Like, I mean, let's say it the real way. Whatever. It's like, not like whatever. 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 You know, God's going to put big things on your heart, big things into your mind. You're going to pray the whatevers. Like, what if God wants to do this? What if he wants to save my neighborhood? What if he wants to do a real revival? What if he wants to use me? What if he wants to speak through me? Wow. This is so much power that when I was reading this, I'm like, oh, am I safe with this power? I mean, this is me. I could start moving Brian all over the place. Is this power that is invested in me by the blood of Jesus Christ, is it safe? Oh, yes. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is moving on us to pray along with God. And prayer aligns our will with the will of God. You see, we have a God that wants to do great things. And he puts it on our hearts, some of these great things. And then we become participants. We become part of the investment as we pray. Think of Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 3, he does all these sacrifices in Gibeon, and then he goes to sleep. Isn't that just right? This huge spiritual work. And then he goes to sleep. But God doesn't sleep. God comes to Solomon in a dream, and he says this, ask. And there's an exclamation mark after that ask, like, ask, ask. Remember how Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, ask, seek, knock. And he says, ask, what shall I give you? Solomon, what do you want? And Solomon then says to the Lord, I need wisdom. You've given me a kingdom. You've given me, you know, this authority. I need wisdom. These are your people. I need wisdom. And God said, you've got wisdom, but I'm going to even add more to that. That's not the end of the story. I'm going to even bless you more. I remember being in England. I know exactly where I was. I was about to go to sleep at night. I might have told you this before. I might have said it last week or the week before. I'm old. I don't remember. But I remember the Lord coming into my room and saying, ask for whatever you want. At the time, I had two teenagers. One was not walking with the Lord. She wanted the world. She even admitted to me, I just want the world. I like the world. I want to be like Friends, like the program Friends. I like the way they dress. I like the way they live. Their life is just so fun. I just want to be like that. And the other one was just angry, my other teenager. And then I had these two little ones. And instead of looking at them like potential for godly leaders, I was like, oh, what are they going to do to me? What am I raising? I was so like, Father. And the Lord said, Cheryl, ask. And I said, I want all of my children walking with Jesus. And I named each one. This is a fourfold prayer, God. I want Kristen and Char and Kelsey and Braden. I want them to walk with you sincerely, truly, really. I don't want pretense. I'm a pastor's kid. I've seen a lot of pastor's kids that just pretend or come to church, whitewashed sepulchers with death inside. I want my kids to be thoroughly, authentically walking with you and knowing you. And whatever it takes, God, I want you to do that. And I felt like God said, done. I was like, okay. You know, I didn't see the evidence totally fulfilled for at least 20 years. But I prayed and I reminded God of that night and that covenant that we made together and what he told me. And I can tell you today, October 22nd, 2021, all of my children are authentically walking with Jesus. And not only are they walking with Jesus, they've become my mentors. I mean, and somebody said, what does it feel like to see your son up here preaching? And I could say, which one? Because both are so dang anointed by Jesus. And I sit there and I glean and I listen and I am thrilled to the core. And I say, God, you kept your promise. You kept your word. You are a God that answers, get this, prayer. I'm 61 years old, and I'm going to tell you, God answers prayer. It's the history of my life. God answers prayer. It's powerful. It is powerful. Prayer is the untapped resource in the believer's life. Prayer is the most untapped, underused, neglected, and yet powerful and dynamic resource that we as believers have to move mountains, to change the direction of nations, to bring down strongholds of the devil, to wipe out drugs. We have that power. We have that power. And that power is through the venue of prayer, of asking God. Asking God. Why don't we tap into this power? Well, I think it's because we lack faith. We believe more in our power to work, more in our, let me make some money for you so I can tithe. We believe more in what we do for God than what God wants to do for us. We believe more. We're doing for God. We'll do for you, we'll do for you, we'll do. And God's saying, will you just sit down? and let me do for you? Will you get on your knees? We believe in our methods more than in God's ways. We believe in our recipes and how we do things and our rituals more than we believe in the way of God, which is through prayer. We believe more in the pervasiveness of evil than that God will work. We resign ourselves like, well, I guess it's evil. Guess this is the way the world's going. No. Oh, no, it's not. Not by your marching, not by your demonstrations. But if you would get on your knees and begin to pray, if you would grab friends and say, let's get on our knees, let's begin to pray. We don't trust that God actually is going to work, and we're almost afraid to pray because I don't want to put it out there and you not work and be disappointed. And so we never put it out there. Or we just like, and if you want to save the governor, go ahead. But I don't think you will. Secondly, we are in too much of a hurry. We don't like his timetable. We want it down now. We're too used to In-N-Out hamburgers. Let me just say that. I want to put my order in, and by the time I get to the window, I want it ready for me. You know, what is it? Del Taco? Isn't it sad that I know these places? But Del Taco has that little timer. Like if, you know, the clock runs out before you get your order, it's free. Yeah, 21 seconds, and you better get it. I got a free red burrito one time. Took them 25 seconds. And sometimes we're like that with God. God, my timetable, it's already been 2 minutes. Where is the answer? As I said with my children, 20 years. But God answered it. God answered it. We want things done in our time. And so we pray once, we pray twice, maybe 3 times. And then we just stop because it wasn't answered in that first week. Thirdly, we want to express ourselves and make ourselves known more than we want God known. I'm sorry, but it's true. We want to be seen as accomplishing something for God rather than standing back and saying, all I did was worship and all I did was bow down. All I did was pray, and this is God. Do we believe that God can? Do we believe that God will? We need to move from God can to God will. We need to move into that. Prayer is powerful, and it highlights the work and ways of God. The Bible is literally filled from cover to cover with answered prayer. If this book tells us anything, it tells us that God answers prayer. It reveals to us the power of prayer, that it brings God's presence to the battle, that it brings God's presence to the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar, to the dreams of the Pharaoh of Egypt. It brings, it reveals the enemy's strategies to the little prophet Elisha in Dotham. It levels mountains, it removes barriers, it defeats the enemies all by prayer. In Revelation 8, verses 3 through 5, we read about prayers, that the angels come with their censers and with the prayer of the saints, and they mix the prayer of the saints with the incense of heaven. So prayers become mixed with heavenly essence, and then it's put on the throne of God where the prayers of the saints, that's you and me, the prayer of the saints is mixed with the incense of heaven. It's amalgamated, no longer two separate substances, but it becomes one substance. And then it tells us that the smoke ascends to God. He smells it. He breathes it in. And once God has breathed it in, the angels then take these amalgamated prayers from the golden altar before the throne of God, and they fill their censers with this amalgamated substance, and they hurl it. I love the word hurl. They hurl it back to earth. And it becomes lightnings, earthquakes, thunderings, and one other thing, noises, thunderings, lightnings, earthquakes. See, prayer brings God's power, God's wisdom, God's ways, God's purposes to every trial, to every state, to every country, to every person, to every situation. This is what prayer does. Prayer brings us into this incredible premise, not my will, but your will be done. Maybe we don't pray because we have forgotten that the will of God is good, that the will of God is abundant, that it's beneficial, that it's wondrous. We have come to believe that our will is better than God's will. It's the truth. It's the sad, sad truth. I remember as a teenager saying, God, I know you have a plan up there, but I really like my plan. Would you please accomplish my plan? That was one prayer that he said, absolutely not to, for my good, for my benefit. Aren't you thankful for all the prayers God has not answered? That he said, no. Brian had, my dad used to tell this story. I just have to tell this. My dad used to tell this story. Well, I was there. I was actually there. I remember the week that my dad came like floating into his office. And he went up there and he kissed my mom and he just gave her a big hug. And my mom's like, Chuck, what's wrong with you? What's going on? And he said, Kay, I just saw an old girlfriend. By this time, my dad was in his 70s. I just saw an old girlfriend that I prayed and prayed I could marry. And I didn't even recognize her. And as I was talking to her, I was saying, God, thank you for saying no. Because you meant Kay for me. So recently, some people in the church met one of Brian's old girlfriends that he was quite serious about. And it was Lance that went to Brian and said, Brian, you know that story that Chuck tells about, thank God he said no? I just think you ought to do that right now. And I was like, bring it down, Lance. Yes, hallelujah. Do you believe God's will is better than your will? Do you? If not, you need to pray, God, show me how superior your will is to my will. Your will is superior. It's got better things for me than I want for myself. Again, I quoted C.S. Lewis, I think it was last week or the week before. Remember, I'm 61. I'm forgetting these things. But C.S. Lewis said, it's not that men ask for too much. It's that they settle for too little. Hudson Taylor, who was a missionary in China, he started the China Inland Mission. He served for 51 years as the head of the China Inland Mission. He imported 850 missionaries to China. The work is still going on in China today. He set up over 20 different missionary posts all over China. And during his lifetime, over 125,000 Chinese people were saved. And he said this is his motto, learn to move man by God through prayer alone. If you can write down anything from this Bible study, write this, learn to move man, that includes your husband, includes the president, and includes the governor, learn to move man by God through prayer alone. Hudson Taylor had to pray for the political upheaval. We had an empress got upset and tried to exterminate every Christian in China. Hudson Taylor had to learn to pray and have the heart of this empress changed to save the missionaries and to save the Christians in China. 1 Timothy 2 is all about prayer. Let me say this. It is not about the role of women. It is not. When we pull it out and we extract it and we make it about who women are or are not to be in the church, we miss the point. The whole context of 1 Timothy 2 is prayer. Paul wants Timothy to get the people in Ephesus praying because the power is in prayer. He wants to get them away from the fables, away from the genealogies, away from the arguments, away from the Hymenaeuses and the Alexanders that are shipwrecking the faith. And he wants Timothy, get the people praying. Get the men praying, get the women praying. So he says, So in this chapter, there are 4 points, and these are the 4 points. Number one, teach men and women to pray. Teach them, get them praying. Number two, teach them the people that they are to pray for. Teach them who they are to pray for. Thirdly, tell them why they're supposed to pray. Give them the reasons they're supposed to pray. Fourthly, show them the weapons, both men and women, that they are not to substitute for prayer. I'll go over all these, so I just wanted to get you ready for this. Paul is saying, I left you in Ephesus to get men and women praying. When men and women stop praying, the churches turn political instead of spiritual. And they get involved with trivialities and temporal things, and they lose sight of the eternal things and the eternal plan of God. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Luke 11:1. He taught them by example. Jesus was always praying publicly and privately. He taught them by giving an example of prayer. Jesus did all he did by the power of prayer, because prayer is our connection to God. Paul exhorts Timothy, and he says, therefore. The therefore refers to you've been left in Ephesus. You've got enemies. You got problems. Therefore. And then he says, I exhort. I am telling you, I am strongly beseeching you. I'm begging you. I'm encouraging you that you make it. And he says, first of all, this phrase, first of all, that we find here, therefore I exhort, first of all, of primary importance. That's the Greek rendering, of primary importance, or a priority. Put this at the top of the church priority list. That prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. Let your first response be prayer.
Prayer has the power to move mountains, change nations, bring down strongholds, and defeat evil. It is the most untapped, underused, and neglected resource we have as believers. As children of God, we have this right, power, and authority to call upon God for anything. But why does it take us so long to go to prayer? Sometimes we lack faith, or maybe our pride stands in the way, or maybe we think we know best. Whatever the case, prayer should be our first resort and our substance and supply. We hope you have been blessed by today's Bible study. For more information about the Gracious Words radio program and the teaching ministry of Cheryl Broderson, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. Coming up next time on the Gracious Words program, we'll look further at the power of prayer as we continue our series, Letters to Lead, Live, and Love By, in the first epistle to Timothy with Cheryl Broderson. We do hope you make plans to join us. Again, for more information, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.